Turning in our Bibles tonight to the New Testament, to the final book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 20. And we're opening our Bibles there, Revelation 20 and the verse 1. Revelation 20, commencing our reading at the opening verse. Let us hear God's word tonight. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, nor neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Amen. And we know that God will bless the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word to all our hearts. Let's bow together for a moment of prayer, please. Our gracious God and loving eternal Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence tonight as we come to the concluding part of our service. We pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit in the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We pray for that anointing tonight in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. You'll find my text tonight in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The subject tonight is your name written there? Is your name written there? Books are everywhere in this world. We live in a world of books. A multitude of authors writing upon a variety of subjects. And even if I were to take time tonight, all of the time at my disposal, and much more, to try to give you a list of the millions, probably billions or trillions even, of books that have been penned, I would feel miserably to even scratch the surface of the immense numbers that have been written and printed through the centuries of time. We could not even begin to comprehend the enormity of the task of compiling such a list. And I'm not volunteering tonight. We have before us the Bible, the Word of God, the book of books. And what a book this is. When the books written by men and women have been forgotten, and even some have gone out of print or cannot be located anywhere, this book, the Bible, remains the unchanging Word of the unchanging God, the Word of Him who cannot lie, the Word that endureth forever. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my Word shall never pass away. The Word of God endureth forever. Of course, they have sought to burn this book. They have trashed it on many, many occasions and will continue to do so. But this word remains. It endures. And this book has within it 66 books. 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament, with a multitude of authors coming from different backgrounds, spanning centuries of time. Yet it is one book. Two testaments, yes, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And yet there is such unity and harmony in the Word of God. The unity of its message comes through whether in the Old Testament or in the New Testament. And a book whose message remains relevant today, despite the passing years, centuries, and decades of time. We have this book, and it is relevant for us tonight. We read this book, we study this book, we bring messages from it, we hear messages from it. It proclaims the gospel, the good news of salvation. It tells us of heaven. It warns us of hell. It presents the message of the only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior of sinners, the only one that can save you tonight from your sin, the only hope for mankind is found in this book tonight. This world is a hopeless world. Hopeless without Christ. Without God and without hope in the world. But thank God, in this book there is hope for the sinner. And thank God you can be saved tonight. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4, verse 12. This book speaks of other books. And I want to focus upon one such book mentioned in our text tonight. Revelation 20, verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And as I focus upon this book, in this wonderful book of the Bible, in the closing moments of our service tonight, and I pray that God the Holy Spirit will write His Word upon your heart. And I repeat the question, is your name written there? And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There are three things that I want to focus upon tonight in this message. First of all, the description that is given. It is described here as the book of life. And the context reveals in verse 12 of the passage that we've read from Revelation 20, at that great white throne judgment, small and great shall stand before God. And it says there, and the books were opened. So there is coming a day of judgment for us all. This is not the judgment of earth or of earth's judges. But this is the judgment of eternity by the great judge of all the earth, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, many people think, well, when I go into Mother Earth, that is the end. Or when I am cremated, as many do today, that is the end. But the Bible tells us in Hebrews 9 and verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. You see, death is not the end. After this, the judgment. And many may escape the judgment of men on earth, but none shall escape the judgment of that great day. The Bible says in Romans chapter 14 and verse 12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Every one of us. Not just some of us. Not just most of us. Not just nearly all of us. But every one of us shall give account of himself to God. The Bible teaches us here in the 12th verse of Revelation 20, that small and great shall stand before God. The nations of the world, no matter what their color or class or creed, will be there. North and south, east and west. The Word of God says, again in verse 12, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Books, plural. What books? For one thing, God's Word will be there. Because John chapter 12 and verse 48 says, the word which I have spoken, the same shall judge them at the last day, the word of God. This book of books that we spoke about earlier tonight and that we're speaking from this evening. Every sinner will be held accountable for the truth that he or she has heard in this life. There will also be a book containing the works of sinners. Though this does not suggest for a moment that a person can do good works to enter into heaven, of course not, because the Bible teaches us that by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, Titus 3, 5 also, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Why then will Jesus Christ consider the works, good or bad, of the people before the great white throne? I'll tell you why, to determine the degree of punishment they will endure in hell. All of these people be cast into hell, their personal rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ has determined their destiny. But Jesus Christ is a righteous judge, and he will assign to each sinner the place they deserve. You see, my friend, the Bible teaches us that there are degrees of punishment in hell. Matthew chapter 11 and verses 20 to 24. The 11th chapter of Matthew verses 20 to 24. And listen to these words of Scripture tonight. The 11th chapter of Matthew verses 20 to 24. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, it talks about there, verse 20. He began to upbraid the cities when in most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. These are unrepentant people. And he talks about Chorazin, verse 21. If the mighty works which had been done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And then he goes on to Capernaum, verse 23. Exalted to heaven shall be brought down to hell. If the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would remain unto this day. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. You see what the Lord is saying here about the degrees of punishment, those that have had the privileges of the word and hearing the word and seeing the mighty works of Christ, and yet have rejected it. Been more tolerable for those who haven't had those privileges. Of course, it's the same hell. But been more tolerable. Each lost sinner will receive just what is due him. None will be able to argue with the Lord or question his decision. Who knows what sinners are doing? But his books will reveal the truth. The book of life will be there. The Bible talks about the book of life in Philippians chapter 4 and the verse 3. The book of Philippians and the 4th chapter and the verse 3, it says this: whose names are in the book of life, mentions these people, Clement, fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Revelation 21, verse 27, 21st chapter of Revelation, in the verse 27, it talks about those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. And so we have this mention here of the names of God's redeemed people, those who are saved, those who are washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. No unsaved person will have his or her name in the Lamb's book of life. Only true believers are recorded there. We mentioned in passing this morning the 10th chapter of Luke and the verse 20. The 10th chapter of Luke. And the Lord was rebuking the disciples in this portion, of course, and he said, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Your names are written in heaven. It's a cause for rejoicing for every redeemed soul tonight in this gathering, for every redeemed person listening into this service tonight, that your name is in the book of life. Is your name written there? Make sure it is, my friend. It is only there if you have a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Have you that saving faith tonight? Do you know Christ? If you don't, I pray, and even as you listen tonight, you will come to know him as your Savior. But then I want you to see, secondly, the declaration. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life. The Word of God is speaking here about those who are not saved. Their names are not in the book of life. They are not in Christ. They're not ready to meet the Lord. And there are many people who have their names on the roll of a variety of organizations, and even on the name of a church roll. And you may even have an association with a Free Presbyterian Church or some other Bible-believing evangelical body of God's people, and yet you're not saved. You may identify even with this church here and say, that's my church. That's where I attend. I'm a Free Presbyterian. You may even say that. You may even be etched on a plaque or stone in honor of your service to community, your service in the workplace, or for some other reason. You may be considered even a pillar in your family or a pillar in society. And you have made a considerable contribution maybe to a variety of organizations throughout your life. All very good. It may give you a considerable amount of pride and even comfort that you have served your comfort, your country and your community. Your family may look at your honors among men, be excited and elated about that. But is your name written in the book of life? Sadly, all the honors by men and among men avail nothing. It is how you stand before God that counts. Your name's not recorded by God, that you're saved. Then all other rewards, awards, achievements pale into utter insignificance. You see, if your name's not in the book of life, you're out of Christ, my friend. You're without Christ. You have no hope beyond this life. No hope for eternity. I recall visiting a man over many years, and on one occasion he took me into his sitting room and showed me all the awards he had had for a variety of things. He had served in the forces. He'd been awarded various things during his working life, and even at his retirement, when he'd gone through all of them, I sat patiently through all of this and him telling me all these things about his achievements, and they were many. And they were very worthy indeed. But I said to him, naming him by his name, I said, there's something missing. He said, have I missed something? I said, you have. He says, what is it? I says, it's God's salvation. It's God's salvation. He was absolutely flabbergasted. He put his head in his hands and he said, you've got me now. I never thought about that. And I had been visiting for years, sharing the gospel with him for years. And yet, here he was, taken up with what he had achieved in this world and what he'd attained in this life. You think of Saul of Tarsus, all that he had by way of religion. In Philippians chapter 3, the third chapter of Philippians, and verses 4 to 6, he spoke about this. Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 to 6. And he talked about this. If any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. All of these things, as far as religion was concerned. But he said in verse 7, Philippians 3, 7, what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Going on, verses 8 and 9, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And here's a man who had all of this religion, but then he found Christ. He found Christ. Have you found Christ tonight? He's here. He's willing to save you. You can be saved tonight. Saul of Tarsus, as he was then, he met the Lord, or the Lord met him on the Damascus Road in Acts chapter 9. He was saved. In a moment of time, his name was written in the book of life. Is your name written there on that page bright and fair in that book of God's keeping? Is your name written there? Make sure it is. Make sure it is right now. Don't delay in this matter. Oh, you may have all the other records of where your name. You may even have plaques on the wall. You may even have certificates. Long service in this organization or another organization. You may even have medals. People may know what you have achieved. But is your name in the book of life? Make sure it is. Think of Nicodemus by way of religion. Again, he was similar, I suppose, in many ways to Saul of Tarsus. But he wasn't born again. He was a ruler of the Jews. But he wasn't born again. You think of Cornelius in Acts 10 and all the commendable characteristics that Cornelius had. You think of all the commendable things that were said about Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5. Their names were not written in the book of life. Thank God Nicodemus did get saved and identified with the Lord. Clearly, as did Cornelius, Naaman was washed from his leprosy. He was made clean. Whatever, wherever else your name is written down, make sure it's written in the book of life. It may have an effect upon you if your name is not written in certain places in this world, but it won't have an effect in eternity. But it will if your name's not in the book of life. It will. Make sure you've settled the matter of your salvation tonight. And so we come to the third thing, the damnation. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. When the judgment is finished, all the lost will be cast into the lake of fire, the second death. Many people reject the biblical doctrine of hell, of course, as being unchristian. And yet, the Lord Jesus Christ clearly taught it as a reality. You read through the Gospels in Matthew, in Mark, and so forth. You find the emphasis that the Lord Jesus Christ put upon the doctrine of hell. There is today a sentimental kind of humanistic religion will not face the reality of judgment, but teaches a God who loves everyone into heaven and sends no one to hell. But let me say to you tonight that hell is a witness to the righteous character of God. He must judge sin, and he will judge sin. Hell is also a witness to man's responsibility, the fact that he is not a robot or a helpless victim, but a creature able to make choices. You see, the fact that people end up in hell is because they reject the Lord Jesus Christ. How many times have you heard the gospel? How many times have you listened in this church to the Word of God or in other places and heard the message of God's Word? Yet you've rejected Christ. You've turned your back upon the Savior. See that you refuse not him that speaketh to you from heaven. Hell is a witness to the awfulness of sin. If we once saw sin as God sees it, we would understand why such a place as hell exists. And in the light of Calvary, no lost sinner can condemn God for being cast into hell. God has provided the way of escape. He's patiently waiting for sinners to repent. He's waiting for you tonight to turn from your sin. He's waiting for you tonight to come to him that he might save you. He will not lower his standards or alter his requirements. He has ordained that faith in his Son is the only way of salvation. There's no other way, friend. We quoted earlier, repeat it again, by grace are you saved through faith. The white throne judgment will be nothing like our modern court cases. At the white throne there will be a judge but no jury. Prosecution but no defense. A sentence but no appeal. No one will be able to defend himself or accuse God of unrighteousness. What an awesome scene it will be. But you can escape this awful damnation if you trust Christ tonight. Will you trust him now? Just now. In the quietness of your heart, will you call upon the name of the Lord? And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you trust him now? Only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. Hallelujah. He will save you now. The Bible says, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Have you passed from death unto life? He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Is your name written there tonight? Lamb's Book of Life. Whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. What a solemn message. What a serious note has been struck in this meeting tonight. How somber it is to think about these things. Will you take that step of faith tonight? True story is told of someone who was walking on a tightrope across the Niagara Falls. Actually happened. It's happened on a number of occasions, I understand. I've been there on one occasion, but I didn't certainly volunteer, I can assure you. But this tightrope walker was going across. Of course, he went across, a great applause, to the other side. And then he got a wheelbarrow. And he wheeled the wheelbarrow across. And of course, a great applause again. And then he said to someone, "Do you believe that someone could get into this wheelbarrow and I could wheel them across?" And they all shouted, "Yes." Young man at the front, particularly. He said, "Will you get into the wheelbarrow?" Oh, no. No. No one was willing to get into the wheelbarrow. No one was willing to take the step of faith. Are you willing tonight? Take the step of faith. There's no risk. This step of faith. Christ has done the work. All you have to do is trust him. When you do it tonight. Let us pray. Father, apply thy word with power to every heart. This evening we pray. In Jesus' name.